Good morning, everyone. I'm telling you, as I was a young pastor, a youth and college pastor at a church, we were at a convention one time, and the music was just so powerful. And I said to the pastor sitting next to me, "How can you preach after something like that?" And he said, "Well, son, if you can't preach after something like that, something's wrong with you." And I took that to heart. Jay, choir, thank you for leading us in worship and bringing us to the holy presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, where the Holy Spirit is already present with us this morning. Folks, we don't sometimes appreciate what goes on behind the scenes for the people to come and sing in the choir. They're doing it not because, you know, it's good stewardship. They're doing it because they want to sing out for the joy of the Lord. Jay, it's obvious that he has Christ in his heart and he leads that way. Matthew and his work with the youth and the deacons that walk around, make sure the parking lot, your cars aren't getting broken into and they're taking up the offering, and the secretaries and staff that make sure things go on throughout the week. It's a body of Christ that all points to him, using our gifts and talents for his glory, for his honor, for his praise. I'm so blessed to be able to share with you this morning on a message about what God has laid on my heart for us today. I hope that as we begin in prayer, you will allow God to open your heart so that you may hear his message for you today. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you would open our hearts and minds, that, Father, we would not only be hearers of the word, but doers of the word. Dear God, use this message this morning that you have given me to be to your glory and your honor. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart bring glory and honor to you. Amen. There's a short 3-minute video that the gentlemen are going to show in just a minute about what it is to be a missionary, the missionary experience. And they're going to run that footage for us just for a second, and then I'll share.
So what we want to do is just ask you about your time on the field.
Oh, I could tell stories upon stories.
Do I take the glasses off? Or?
All right.
We want the uncut version.
Okay.
I thought you were going to let me think about these questions before you ask them to me.
All right, you ready? First question. When you think back on your time overseas, what brings you joy?
It's the relationships, sharing of life, the sharing of who Jesus is. The greatest joy of my time overseas definitely is people.
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 It's the people.
People.
People that
the people that I got to meet.
The lives that were changed.
It's the people.
People.
It's definitely is people that flash before my eyes when I think about joy on the field.
What's one thing you wish you had known when you first went overseas that you know now?
You really are not in control.
I'm totally dependent on God.
My best efforts would never get it done.
Just been more genuine instead of more calculating.
How integral my kids could be in ministry in a developing country that was very close to the gospel.
How much the people become your family.
That if you're not passionate about reaching lostness where you are, it's not going to grow when you go to a foreign land.
To what degree did the Lottie Moon Christmas offering impact your work?
There is no way we could have gone where we went without Lottie Moon.
Tires were expensive to replace. I think he had the record in Kenya, changing 60 flats in 1 year.
Wheelchairs.
Textbooks.
Housing.
Surgery.
Solar panels.
Honda 185 motorcycle. It was kids on the back of this thing, motocross all the way to church on Sunday.
Torn Achilles, shoulder surgery. Without the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, I would be a mess.
You know, I never would have gotten to the field if it wasn't for the local church.
More than just an offering.
Every penny that was given.
Crucial, vital.
Literacy work.
Education opportunities.
A refugee center.
Health care. We put in almost 300 wells.
Trained church planters.
Strategic.
Lifeline.
Cooperative effort
for the gospel around the world.
How has serving overseas changed you?
I think no one could have told me when I moved overseas what it was like to be a minority.
More sensitive to the needs of people around me,
rather than seeing a people group. I see people.
More attuned to God's leadership.
Ultimately confident in God.
In your opinion, what do you think church leaders could do to increase involvement overseas?
Marry the legacies of the past with the challenges of the future.
Model what it means. Go yourself.
People in the church will follow the example of their church leader.
We're giving them a vision for missions, not just as something that happens when you get on an airplane, but helping them become stronger disciples of Christ in their own community.
If we're involved in global work, it will impact our local work.
He's brought the nations here.
Refugees, migrant workers.
Entrepreneurs looking for new ways to get into countries.
The opportunities really are limitless.
Last question. Being a missionary is blank.
Whew.
Just being who you are as a Christian.
A calling?
It's something that Jesus has asked all of us to do.
It's making disciples.
A challenge.
An exciting adventure.
It didn't look anything like I thought it was going to look.
Waking up every day and asking, where is the Father at work and what would He have me do?
To live out my life for Jesus in front of other people, no matter where I live.
There's nothing like it. Nothing.
This is a difficult message for me. These are my colleagues, mentors in the faith. I didn't realize this was going to impact me this way. Please turn in your Bibles. Luke chapter 9. I'm going to begin in verse 23. The Lord is The Lord's impressing my heart to change my message a little bit this morning. And that's a little scary when you have everything prepared and the Lord lays something on your heart. In Luke chapter 9, beginning in verse 23, God's word says, "Then he said to them all, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily. Follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and lose himself and forfeit or forfeit his very self? You can start that first slide and I'll try to get through. As I was saying, these are my mentors, my co-workers that were pictured there with the International Mission Board as Judy and I have served for 17 years. We're so appreciative to Faith Family Fellowship and in the house that you provide, the love and fellowship and warmth that you've given to not only us, but multiple other missionaries that have come through. That house alone is such an extension of God's love to so many. And thank you for that, for the privilege. For Pastor Joel and his wife Janet and the church and the staff leadership that, again, have reached out to so many of us as missionaries. But if you heard it in the video, it talks about who is a missionary. And the one lady said, we're all called to be missionaries. Each one of us can use our own gifts and talents to the glory of God. When Judy and I would go around telling, Vacation Bible School and mission friends and RAs and GAs and the different things we would talk to, we would ask the children, what is a missionary? And they would raise their hand and say all these different things. But it's simply someone who's willing to tell others about Christ. And each of you have a mission field right in front of you. Right in front of each of us, wherever we go, wherever we are. In our first slide, of making him known among the nations. that people around the world need to hear the good news. The good news of Jesus Christ. And it talks about how the refugees are not only out there, but they're coming here to America. The Coles and the English language class that they're having here. You can come back now to America and see such a diversity, such a melting pot. When you look at the Statue of Liberty in New York, and when it says, bring me your hungry, your tired. When America opens its arms to the nations and to the people, we're responding. And they're among us. But we also have to be called to go to the mission field. And through the period of some of these slides, I'm going to show you a few things, a few stories in my life that have come along in our family's life. So I do hope that as you see these, as you read God's word, that you would be attentive to the calling that God has. So if Marty, the next one there, right over in 2 Corinthians, if you would turn there. 2 Corinthians, chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, it's posted there, but you may want to read along in your word, beginning in verse 14. Listen to this. It says, but thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ, and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of him. For we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one we are the smell of death, and to the other the fragrance of life. And who is equal to such a task? To some the fragrance of death, and to others the fragrance of life. In the next slide you'll see a picture of the incense. As we served in Thailand, the Philippines, and traveled all into India, Indonesia, incense like this would be so prevalent, burning at different places, little altars all over the place. I'll never forget, I was in Korea, and there in Korea there was this rock, and the people had tied a ribbon around it, and there was candles, and there was incense, and little offerings of food all over Thailand. In the morning when they go out and start their work, they have these shrines, these little shrines, and they put the incense in there, and they come and they do their hands, and they're praying. They're praying to these spirits. They're praying to these false gods. In the next slide and image, you'll see a picture of Buddha. Not just one, but lots of different Buddhas. You see the different monks that are there. These people are bowing down, praying to false gods and idols. And you think of these, you see these in pictures, you see these in places. But folks, this is real. This happens every day. People are submitting themselves to the false gods and idols of this world. They're pouring out their hearts and souls as best they can. They're seeking for something. In the next slide, we see them lost with no hope. This is in the Philippines, near what's called the shanty town, or near the Smoky Mountain, where it's the dump of Manila with over 18 million people. This is the huge dump there. And you see the village, you see the tin that is just strapped together, cardboard, you see boxes, you see the children, you see the people. This is how they're living. And they're living in that. My life was changed on a school bus going to school at Faith Academy in the Philippines. And I'm on this bus and I'm riding along, and traffic is just horrific. It is just horrendous. So I'm on this school bus early in the morning trying to get to school, and our bus is stopped as usual. And I'm looking out the window, and I see this little 3 or 4 year old girl with just a tattered shirt, no clothes, no underwear, and she's pulling on a block of wood with a string with some bottle caps that had been tacked to it for a little toy car, a little toy truck. And she had this look on her face as she was, you know, playing as a child. And I thought, she has no idea how terrible her situation is. And it was at that moment that God began to work in my heart and say, Steve, you got to do something. And I was changed really from then on. And now I have my own children. I look at them and I see the abundance that we have. And I see the blessings that we have had. But God didn't release me. And my wife and I took off in 1999 to be part of the IMB and missionaries serving in the Philippines and then in Thailand. People lost with no hope. And in the next slide, you see this picture, this face. And you see her eyes. And you look, and what is there? She's lost. She's looking. This particular picture of this Afghan girl, In Thailand, these artists are just amazing. And they take a pencil and they'll draw this pencil etching and then they'll shade it and color it. And they capture this image so wonderfully. And you look at it and you look, there's no hope in their hearts and lives. And in our next slide, you'll see they're preparing the soil. This is a sunrise over into the subdivision where we would live in our house. And so you see the rice fields, if you can capture the image there, see it. The sun is coming up. I've just dropped the kids off at school, and I'm looking in just to the left. You can't really see it too well, but there's a temple off to the left. But I'm reminded that in God's word, the scripture says in Psalms 19, how clearly the sky reveals God's glory, how plainly it shows what he has done. Each day announces it to the following day, and each night repeats it to the next. No speech or words are used, yet their voice goes out to all the world and is heard to the ends of the earth, like a bridegroom in the morning when the sun rises till it goes down in the end. It's such a reminder when I see these images and the creation of God, and he's evident everywhere, and I see it in the people. And in the next slide, you see, again, as we went out and evangelized, this is in Japan, on the streets of Japan, in Tokyo, the largest populated city, I believe, in the world. And here we are doing evangelism. These young students spending a summer doing missions, and they're just playing the guitar. And you know, some of these guys, they're playing these old hymns, right? They're just strumming along. And they're singing, and people are stopping to listen. And then those of us in the side here, you see these two girls, they're engaging people. They're talking with them as best they can, trying to English and hand them a track and a pamphlet. In exposure to the gospel, on the next slide, you see here, this is preaching God's word. Sri Lanka, a small little house church, a little fellowship together. And this brethren missionary, or brother missionary, is preaching and teaching this family. And in the next slide, you see again, evangelism. This is one of my daughters, and she is on what's called the night bazaar evangelism. In Thailand, they have a big market at nighttime. All the tourists come. And so the students from our school have an opportunity to go and share Christ, hand out tracts, and engage people. And many of them are foreigners, tourists. In fact, Bangkok this year, in 2016, beat out London and Paris as the number one tourist site in the world. It's incredible how the nations are coming there. When I'm in the airport in Suvarnabhumi Airport in Bangkok, you can just see it. The host of people that are there. And you look in their eyes, and many and most of them, no hope. Nothing. And in the next slide, we see the power of prayer. You know, I've always appreciated the WMU, the Women's Missionary Union, the IMB, the cooperation that is there, the prayers that go up. On my birthday, I would get a card as an MK. My parents have served for 28 years with the International Mission Board. I was born overseas. I grew up overseas. While I was in college and my parents were still overseas, I got a birthday card from the WMU. They were praying. Just this last week, as Judy and I were in Richmond, Virginia, the Indiana Baptist Mission women sent us cards saying thank you. Thank you for your years of service. The WMU. People are praying. But in this particular picture, this one also is in Japan. I was struck by this. I was on a summer mission trip a year or so ago, leading a bunch of students there. And right here, this big chamber coffin is there. And then you see the rope going up. And people, here's what they do. People would come up and they would ring the bell. Bing, bing, ding, ding. And then they would throw their money into this coffer. That would make all this noise. It would clink and clank as it went down. Ding, 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 ding. And you know what it was? It was to wake the spirits. They rang this bell. They did the money to awaken the spirits so that as they went into the temple area and began to pray, that the spirits would hear them. Do you see what's going on? I mean, they're like, they lost. They don't have it. They don't know about the name of Jesus Christ and the power. And when we begin to share with them, we want to introduce you to the God of all gods, the one who's in control of all spirits. And they look amazed. They go, you mean there's one who controls all these spirits? Yes. And we share the love of Jesus Christ with them. In the next slide, you see there is hope. This is another one of my daughters working with some of the children in our at the school area where Judy and I and our kids went to school at Faith Academy in the Philippines. And about 400 squatter children located down near this riverbank that was very close to the school. And on Sunday mornings, about 400 of these kids would show up for Sunday school, for just a Sunday lesson. My children were a part of this, sharing the love of Jesus Christ, giving them an apple, a banana, a piece of fruit, something, and the message of Jesus Christ. Trying to give them hope in their lostness, in their poverty, in what they have. And the next slide, again, our lives do bring hope. And this is my son also, again, working with that. You see the children around him. Okay, in the next slide. Lifting up God to his glory, using our gifts. There's another one of my children that's, I have five. I know y'all are going, wait a minute. How many kids does this guy have, right? I know. I have five children. The oldest one's in seminary in up in Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary in North Carolina, preparing to do the 2+2 program. I have a daughter that's teaching at Cottage Hill School. Have a son that's at William Carey University, a daughter at Spanish Fort High School, and a son at Spanish Fort Elementary School. And so that's it. That's all. But God is blessed. My children are a part. If you saw it in the video earlier, that the one woman, she said, I never knew the impact that my children could have in the ministry. At our home in Thailand, every Wednesday, there was a little club, a children's club that would come. My wife and our son would be a part of that. And these children would come and they would share the gospel of Jesus Christ, teaching them English. And they did a Christmas program. The Christmas program. You know, here's Mary and Joseph and the children. We invite all the parents to come. And they come and hear the gospel message, the gospel story. This is my son. He's leading worship and guitar. And he's studying at William Carey to continue to do that. And it's his heart to share the love of Jesus Christ using the gifts and talents that God has given him. And then the next slide. Our ministry with our students. Judy and I worked this last year as dorm parents. So we hosted about 12 kids in a dorm, IMB dorm. And these kids whose parents were serving in India and in the Middle East, in China, other places around would come and live with us so that their parents could stay where they were, engaging the gospel on the front lines, on the cutting edge. And so ours was a support role, taking care of these kids so that their parents could continue the gospel and ministry work. And the next slide, you see our school, The Nations Will Hear. This is Grace International School in Chiang Mai, Thailand. And in the next slide, you see that over 26 different nations are represented at this school. This school is in a strategic place in Southeast Asia because, one, it's so open to people coming in and out. The tourism and the people that can get in and out. The Chinese, there's like 4 or 5 direct flights straight into the city. They're coming in like crazy. So the opportunity to begin to share with the nations right where we are. And you'll see in the next slide here about opportunities, what can be done. If you'll turn again in the book of Luke. Luke chapter 9 again. I love this story. Luke chapter 9, beginning in verse 12. If you can follow along. Late in the afternoon, the 12 came to him and said, send the crowd away so that they can go to the surrounding villages and to the countryside and find food and lodging, because we're in a remote place here. Listen to this. Jesus in verse 13. You give them something to eat. They answered, we only have 5 loaves and a few bread and 2 fish. 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Unless we go out and buy food for all this crowd. And about 5,000 were there. But he said to his disciples, have them sit down in groups of about 50 each. Then the disciples did so, and everybody sat down. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks, and he broke. Then he gave to the disciples, and they set before the people, and they all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up the baskets and were broken, and about 12 baskets were left over. I'm a PE teacher. My degree from Samford University is in physical education. I have a little bit of seminary. My first mission trip to back to the Philippines, I was in college, and we were in this remote village area, and we would take these, called a jeepney, and we would ride on this jeepney down the road, and we came to a school where there were a couple hundred students, and they came out and they said, "Now the missionary is going to preach, Steve." I'm like, I'm not a missionary. I haven't been to seminary. I've not been trained. I don't know how to do all this." So I preached about Daniel and the lion's den, right? That's a very evangelistic message right there, isn't it? You know, somehow, the interpreter knew what to do, because he must have said something really great, because people did respond and come down to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. But it was just because I was willing to go and be obedient to be the voice of God where he had called me to be at that moment, at that time. And folks, I take just me as this PE teacher. And God took me and used me wherever I went for his kingdom and his glory. I'll never forget some of our first early ministry things. I was going along at these campuses. I was doing campus ministry. And Matthew, I don't know if you can relate. It's like there's all these kids. You don't know how to reach them. And you know, so you start, you know, I just begin walking on the campuses and spying out the land and praying. And now I did look different than the average Filipino who is, you know, shorter than me. I'm not really tall as American, but shorter than me, dark hair, dark skin, dark eyes, you know, all of them. And I would stand out. And they would come up and they go, "What are you doing here?" And I would just go, "Well, let me tell you. I'd like to introduce you to Jesus Christ." Now, in the Philippines, it's a Catholic country. So Jesus is everywhere on all these jeepneys and cars and taxis. You know, glory to God, Jesus is, you know, this, and grace of God. So he's well known. He's on the cross. And there are statues of Mary and the other apostles and saints. And the people would come in and they would take their handkerchief and they would rub on Mary. And then they would rub their stomachs because the women wanted to be blessed by Mary. They would pray, "Mother Mary, please speak to the Heavenly Father on my behalf." And so I was there to tell them about Jesus Christ and the relationship you have with him, not just a religion. Because it's easy for us to be religious and to be a part of a religion. But you don't know until you've become and invited Jesus into your own heart to have a relationship with him. I was a young child sitting in a pew just like this at a church in Vestavia Hills, Birmingham, Alabama. I was about 12 years old, and I was sitting there, and the man was singing on Easter Sunday, "The Old Rugged Cross." And I envisioned, I saw Jesus on that cross, and he was there on that cross for me. Here I am, an MK. My parents are missionaries. My dad was serving on staff there. We went to church all the time. Well, I'm going to heaven, sure. I go to church. I'm with them. And the Holy Spirit began to impress in my heart, "No, Steve, I'm knocking at the door of your heart. I want you as a child of God for me." And tears started coming down to my eyes. I went forward at the invitation with my mom, and we talked to the pastor. I prayed to receive Christ and followed through in believer's baptism. And folks, what great joy it is that last week I got to baptize my youngest, Ben, into the family of God. You see, folks, it's not that you're religious. It's not that we are so blessed and benefit from all that is here. But God wants each of us to be active and involved and a part of his kingdom calling. He tells us that we are the body of Christ. The hands do this, and the eyes, and the ears, and the feet, and all these different things work together, just like in this church. The body of believers here and the staff, they work together for God's glory, for his kingdom. And we need to be a part of that. And in the next slide, it shows just a few things about what we can do, what we have to offer. God uses our prayers, our gifts, and our going. You know, back in this passage about the disciples, I love this passage because, you know, at times I don't think I'm much. I don't have doctorates. I don't have high degrees. I don't have countless people of believers that I can, you know, put in a book that says, "Oh, I won all these people to the Lord." You know, I'm a PE teacher. I'm a missionary kid. But folks, when Jesus says, you feed them. And I go, I don't have much, God. I don't have much. But when I lay myself at the altar before the Heavenly Father, before Jesus, and he looks up to the Heavenly Father and he breaks me and he breaks that bread and the fish, then he is using what little I have for his kingdom glory. Folks, this morning, as you see in this slide right here, this is looking over the city of Manila, out from the hilltop. It's a beautiful view. The smog makes really great pictures for the sunsets. But you see the city skyline. There are these buildings where we went to church, several of them in a row, probably 5,000 occupants in each building. Call centers. How many of you have talked to a Filipino? You know, you call AT&T or you call whatever, and you're talking to one of these people in one of these buildings, I'm telling you. And they just go through it. And they're walking those streets. And it's the same people that you see here at the grocery store, at the gas station, at your place of work, your family members. There's only two types of people in the world. Those that are lost and those that are saved. We have the privilege. Folks, Jesus is entering into Jerusalem. And he's making such a noise, the disciples are putting the palm branches down. And the leaders, they came and said, tell your disciples to be quiet. You're causing a riot and stuff. And he says, even if I asked them to be quiet, the rocks and stones themselves would cry out to his glory. Folks, aren't we privileged that he chooses to use us? Because he's going to get his name known amongst the nations. And we have the opportunity, the privilege to partner with him and to use whatever we have for his kingdom and glory. Jay is going to come in just a minute, I believe, and somehow close this service. But I want to offer an invitation. And if Matthew comes down in a moment as we begin and close in prayer, and I pray God is working in your heart. And folks, there's something about coming forward and making a decision. And whether you just need to kneel at the altar and pray, God, what do you have for me to do with today's message? How can you use me, just these loaves of bread and fish that I am, for your kingdom, for your glory, here or abroad? What do you have me to do? How am I supposed to respond to this message today? I pray every time, Lord, give me your word. The cost of the discipleship. What does it mean to be a missionary? Take up your cross daily. Be obedient to the commands that he has said in Matthew 28. Go ye into all the world and make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Let's bow our heads in prayer, and then in a moment, you're going to have an opportunity to respond as your staff and myself will be standing here. And if you want to come and make a decision or pray, please do so. Let's stand to our feet as I pray. Heavenly Father, the world needs the name of Jesus. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Lord, may we respond as you would have us today, to take the call that you've given to each of us to go to that family member, the co-worker, the unknown stranger, the homeless person, the orphan, the widow. Lord, the world is lost and without hope. As we look into their eyes, we see the eyes of people who need Jesus. May we only respond. In In Jesus' name, amen.